Good morning.
Good morning. Good
to see you guys. So Mike said this just a moment ago, that their verse for the year, and he said it, you can memorize it quickly, at least this part of the verse, talking about God, he said, He restores. Let's say it again. He
restores my soul.
So let's just start with this. You're at family camp, right? And kids are off where they are, and you don't have to answer out loud. It's a rhetorical question, but just kind of self-evaluation here, right? How's your soul? Like, how you doing? And when you think about your soul, you can think about it this way, because your soul is your life, right? Your body is not your life. Your job is not your life. Your soul, who you are on the inside, because one day you're going to graduate. Some people call it dying. One day you're going to graduate, right? All of us are born and all of us are going to die. We all have that in common. Right now we're that dash in the middle between a date of birth and a date of death. And one day your soul will exit your body. Your body will stay and your soul will continue to live on. Your soul is your life. So I'll just ask you, how's your life? How's your soul? How you doing on a joy level, contentment level, peace level? How's your soul? So the Bible says, He restores my soul. That means soul restoration is about He, because He restores my soul restoration, soul renewal, soul redemption is about a relationship. He, say it with me, restores my soul. There it is. So how's your soul? So I grew up, I mentioned it a moment ago, in Mesquite, Texas. My dad left when I was 8. I was raised by a single mom. And I always tease about this. I had a drug problem when I was a kid, which means my mom drugged me to church all the time, right? So it was me and my little brother. That's a terrible joke. It was me and my little brother. And the single mom loved us, loved Jesus, made sure we were at church all the time. I come from a Southern Baptist background, and so we were at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night for something called visitation and outreach. Anybody ever heard of that? Basically means you go out and you knock on doors, right? Wednesday, I was there for youth group. We had different things. I basically lived at church. I was at church all the time. And here's what I noticed. There are a lot of people that seem to, at least in my mind, they had been a Christian a long time, right? So in my mind, they've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but they just seem miserable. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen like a miserable church person? Don't look around right now. You just know what I'm talking about, right? But think about this for a second. He restores my soul, which means soul restoration, renewal, redemption, soul satisfaction is found in a relationship. He restores my soul. So the more that you know He, the more satisfied your soul should be, right? I mean, the more that you know He, the more satisfied your soul should be. And so I remember growing up in church, right, as a kid, and this was one of the churches where they yelled at you a lot. Anybody have that background? Right? It wasn't a good service unless you were confused and felt terrible. Like, that was a good one. You really met with God if you met, you know, if you're really guilty, you weren't going to change anything, do anything because you didn't understand it. But if you felt guilty, you met with God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? And so there seemed to be these people who had been in church a long time. In my mind, as a kid, they'd been walking with Jesus a long time, but they were miserable. And yet He restores my soul. He restores my life. I mean, it just seems like that followers of the Prince of Peace, that's Jesus, would be people of peace. Like there would be soul satisfaction. And as I got older and I started looking into the scripture, there is no such thing as miserable maturity. Because the more you know He, the more satisfied your soul will be. I mean, miserable maturity, there is no such thing, contrary to popular belief, there is no such thing as a jerk for Jesus. It's impossible to follow Jesus and be a jerk at the same time. Does this make sense? And yet look around, right? And sometimes I have to say, yet look in the mirror. I mean, jerk for Jesus is like an oxymoron. Do you know what an oxymoron is? It's when you say something and then you say something else that cancels out what you just said. Oxymoron, jumbo shrimp. right? Try this one. Microsoft works. Country music? Let's just pray and move on. What do you say? And yet it seemed like people who'd been in church a long time, in my mind, Christian for a long time, they were miserable. There is no such thing as miserable maturity. So I'll just ask you again, how's your soul? How's your soul? Raised by a single mom, my parents are divorced. I've had a lot of difficult things in my life in different seasons. I've been married now for 17 years. I just mentioned I've been on sabbatical because I just celebrated 14 years at the church where I'm privileged to serve. 7 years ago when I had my first sabbatical, because when you go on sabbatical, you know, the sabbatical, Shabbat, it means to rest, right? It means to have your soul restored. And so 7 years ago, I'm on my first sabbatical, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get to work. I mean, I'm going to come back with a word from the Lord, you know? Like, I'm going to come back, my face is going to be glowing. And when I step back in front of the people, you know, at my church, they're going to be like, he has been with God, right? And so I'm on this sabbatical for like 6 weeks at that time, and I come back, and I got like one word from the Lord during that first sabbatical. And the word that I'm about to share with you is something that at the time didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because it was disconnected from the church that I grew up in. And here was the word, my first sabbatical. Here it is. I felt like God told me all through that 6 weeks, enjoy your life. Ta-da! Now that doesn't even sound spiritual, does it? Step back in front of my people. You know, here's what God told me from up on the mountain. Enjoy your life. Right? And yet, what does the Bible say? We said it just a moment ago. Say it with me. He restores my soul. See, for most of my life, I'd been in survival mode. And because of that, I was always trying to prove myself. Working longer than I needed to. Buying things I couldn't afford with money I didn't have to impress people. I don't know. Because I had this idea that soul satisfaction, that I would finally be at peace when I accomplish this, when I get this, when my kids get this age. Used to be when I finally had kids, now it's when my kids move out. Can I get a witness, right? It was like soul restoration was out there somewhere. And when I finally achieve, when I finally get, when I finally arrive in this season, then whoo! How's your soul? How's your soul? Because reality is this, soul satisfaction will never be found out there. But it can be experienced in here. Because the more you know He, the more satisfied your soul will be. Enjoy your life. I remember talking to my wife about it, and she said, oh yeah, Chad, you don't know how to relax. She said, you don't know how to be at rest. I'll never forget this because it was a loving punch in the face. And every once in a while, we just need to, you know, receive a loving punch in the face. Or we need to give a loving punch in the face, right? Metaphorically. Yeah. My wife and I were having this conversation. And she said, you know, Chad, because we were finally at a place of stability and all that. And she was very nice. She was encouraging to me. She said, you know, you've built a really great life for us, for me and the boys. And then she said this. Why don't you come over here and enjoy it with us? And so in all honesty, for the past 7 years, I've been on this journey of learning how to be at rest. Rest, joy, contentment, peace. Big deal. It's God's will for you. It's God's will for me. I mean, the Christian life is not just about getting into heaven after you die. It's also about, by the power of the Holy Spirit, getting a little bit of heaven into you now while you live. How's your soul? What we're going to talk about in the mornings this week is rest for your soul. Joy, peace, satisfaction, contentment. Who God really is, what he really wants for you. In the midst of a life where you will have trouble. Now, Jesus said that. But again, soul satisfaction and rest is not about what's happening on the outside. It's about what's happening on the inside. We're going to talk about how that works. If you're taking notes, kind of the big thought, and we'll build on this in the mornings through the course of the week, is this. In the Bible, rest is not a suggestion, but a command and a promise. Rest is not a suggestion. It's not something where God says, well, if you feel like it or you have a little extra time, just... it's one of the big 10. The big 10, 10 commandments. God says, I want you to rest. We're going to break this down a little more tomorrow. You know why God wants you to take a Sabbath, one day off a week? Here's why. Everybody lean in. You ready? Because he wants you to enjoy your life. That's what that's about. In the end, I'll just tell you, all that matters is God and people. And if you're going to have quality time with God and quality time with people, you got to make room for that. There's got to be margin. And so rest is a command. And it's also a promise. The Christian faith is the only faith in existence where the core of it is about rest. Watch me. Do you know what religion is? Here's what religion is. Because the Christian faith, all right, at its core is not a religion. Religion, a guy named Tim Keller taught me this. Religion is all about advice. Watch my hands. This is God. This is us. This is religion. This is what you have to do to work your way to God. It's advice. And even if it's not God, right, it's better karma. It's be reincarnated, you know, in a rich family, right, instead of coming back as a slug, right? Like, this is what you have to do to achieve. Religion is all about achievement. It's advice. This is what you have to do to work your way to God. Christianity's about rest, not work. Christianity, in its very essence, at its core, is not about what we do. It's about what's been done for us in and through the person of Jesus. Biblical Christianity is not, this is what you have to do to work your way to God. Biblical Christianity is something called the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Now think about this for a second. News is not something you can't achieve. News is something you choose whether or not you will believe and receive. Make sense? Rewind, Christmas time, think about it. Jesus comes on the scene. The angel shows up in front of the shepherds, and the angel says, picture, Linus, Charlie Brown, Christmas special. He reads it. The angel says, behold, I bring you good of great joy for all the people. What's the good news of great joy for all people? Today in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He's Christ. Christ and Messiah are interchangeable. It means anointed one. Christ is Greek. Messiah is Hebrew. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the fulfillment of prophecy, the Lord God himself. This is Christianity. All other faiths, this is what you have to do to work your way to God. Christianity, good news of great joy for all people. We have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christianity is not, this is what you have to do to work your way to God. Christianity is, this is what God has done to work his way to you in and through the person of Jesus. Christianity is not about working, it's about believing and receiving. Rest is a command, and a promise. Look at this passage of scripture. If you brought your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 11. If you don't have your Bible on you, it will be here on the screen. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. The Bible says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to, what are the next two words? Okay, not just children, but who? You know who knows how to rest? Little children. Because let me help you. They got something glorious every day in their life. You know what it's called? Nap time. Can I get a witness, right? Little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Now, if you're a church person, you know this. Jesus says, hey, we got to become like little children. He's not talking about being childish. He's talking about being childlike. Two very different things. Childish we got, right? He's talking about being childlike. Hidden these things from the wise, from the learned, revealed them to little children. Verse 27. Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Think about this for a second. Think about what Jesus is saying here, all right? Put it together. Sometimes we overcomplicate it and we miss the simple truth. So Jesus is about to talk to us about rest, and here's how he goes into it. Little children get it. I get it because I know the Father. So what I'm about to tell you, Jesus says, is revealing of who the Father is and what he wants for you. Is everybody tracking with that? Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we overcomplicate it and we miss the simple truth. Little children get this. I get God, so let me lay it down for you. That's what Jesus is saying. And here it is, verse 28. It's a command. It's a promise. Rest. Jesus says, come to me. Is your soul tired? Are you burned out? Do you lack peace? You couldn't find joy if your life depended on it, right? Come to me. Here it is. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Say it with me. He restores my soul. The more you know he, the more at rest your soul will be. I will give you rest. Verse 29. So take my yoke upon you. Rest. Now we're talking about work. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Look at this. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, next four words, read them out loud with me, rest for your souls. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know what a yoke is? Picture in your mind, you know, an ox cart, and there's this thing like the golden arches at McDonald's over the two ox. Does that make sense? Literally, here's what Jesus is saying. All right, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Easy, light, rest. Here's literally what he's talking about. He's talking about discipleship. Picture in your mind like those two ox traveling together, right? The golden arches are over them. Here's the idea. Allow Jesus to put his arm around you and walk with you and teach you how to live. And teach you how to live. Because if you will learn from Jesus how to live, you will find rest for your souls, because he restores my soul. If you're going to learn from Jesus, here's what this means. We've got to learn to look at life differently. We've got to retrain our brain when it comes to who God is, what he sees, and how we're to live. And if we will learn from Jesus, if we will begin to see what he sees, the result of that is rest for our souls. Not from the outside in, come on, but from the inside. From the inside out. Think about this for a second. What if God is not who you think he is? I mean, the Bible talks a lot about the joy of the Lord. No such thing as miserable maturity. No such thing as a jerk for Jesus. But followers of the Prince of Peace, will be at peace. Three things here, lessons from Jesus. We'll kind of unpack these through the course of the week. We've got to learn three things from Jesus. Number one, you've got to learn repentance. Learn repentance. Now, the word repent is a military term. It literally means to do a 180, right? So you're marching one direction. Repent, you turn to a 180, you go the other way, right? But here's literally what the word means. It means to do a 180, catch this, in your thinking. To do a 180 in your thinking. That's what it means to repent. And Jesus is not just nice, like he's really smart, right? Sometimes we think about Jesus and we think, you know, long-haired hippie guy, really nice, right? Really cute little sayings. Jesus is super smart, all right? He's always right. I mean, just think with me. Jesus understood molecular structure. That's why he could turn H2O into Merlot, right? That's why he could step out on H2O and it becomes solid. He understood molecules. Jesus is like really smart. Jesus understands physiology and anatomy. That's why he can cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. Jesus is really, really smart. Okay? If we're going to learn from Jesus and allow him, right, to help us see what he sees. We're going to follow him. We're going to trust him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We'll find rest for our souls. We're going to be followers of Jesus. We've got to begin to see what Jesus sees. If we see what Jesus sees, we'll think like Jesus thinks, and we'll do what Jesus says. If we could see what Jesus sees, we would always do what Jesus says. We've got to learn repentance. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of looking at life. Write this down. This is a big one. Our problem is not that we don't love God enough. Our problem is we do not realize how much he loves us. Our problem is not that we don't love God enough. Our problem is that we do not realize how much he loves us. If we could see what Jesus sees, we would always do what Jesus says. I have these moments with my 9-year-old, right? And his name's Jackson, and he favors my wife. I mentioned that earlier. He looks Scottish. He's got red hair and freckles. He's just a beautiful kid, right? And I have these moments with him, and I'll go to him, and I'll say, Jackson, why didn't you do what I said, right? And what does he say? What does he say? He says what your kid says. He says this. He says, I don't know, right? And I have these moments, I feel like with God, and I'm praying, you know, and I blew it again or whatever. And God's like, Chad, why don't you just do what I say? And I look to God and I say, I don't know, right? And so I'll go to Jackson and I'll say, Jackson, let me ask you a question. You're 9, right? And Jackson is really smart. Again, he's our little British kid. Jackson is a 9-year-old who will sit at the dinner table, cross his legs, eat olives and cheese, reading a book. That's my 9-year-old son. He's like his mama, right? But I'll say, Jackson, he's very intelligent. Are you smarter now that you're 9, or were you smarter when you were 5? And he'll be like, I'm smarter now that I'm 9, Dad. I'll be like, why? Because I'm 4 years older. I'm like, Jackson, why don't you just do what I say? Because here's the deal, Jackson. I'm 46 years old, right? Listen close. And here's the deal, buddy, right? I love you. I can see what you can't see. I know what you don't know. And what I'm telling you is for your good. So why don't you just trust me? And then, of course, Jackson, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, well, let's try again. And I feel like God sometimes is going, Chad, right? I'm the source of all wisdom. I can see what you can't see. I know what you don't know. Why don't you just trust me? See, our problem is not that we don't love God enough. Our problem is that we do not realize how much he loves us. If you knew how much your heavenly Father loves you, you would always do what he says. Because he's always right, and it's for your good. Getting to know Jesus, experience soul restoration, is learning to see what he sees. To repent is to change your focus. It's to do a 180 in how you see it and choose to see it the way he sees it. And even if you don't understand it, you obey it anyway, because most of the time, understanding is on the other side of obedience, and sometimes understanding will be on the other side of this life. But he is always right, and he loves you. Look at me. He loves you. no matter where you've been, what you've done, or what's been done to you. And you can trust him. And what he says is for your good. Look at this. This is a passage of scripture. This is in the Old Testament. This is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And for some of you who've been in church a long time, this passage of scripture is going to blow your mind. It's like going to blow your hair back. You're going to be like, this is in the Bible? We about to read it. Okay? Here's the deal. The wall's broken down. Nehemiah's leading them. Nehemiah's basically leading the people back to God. They're rebuilding the wall around the city. And it's a fantastic book of scripture, by the way, on leadership. If you lead anything, which is all of us on some level, read this book in the Bible. Read all the books in the Bible. But Nehemiah is just a great book. They're having this celebration, and here's what happens. Look at this, and I want you to see this about God and his love for you, and again, soul satisfaction, peace, contentment, enjoying your life. Here's what the Bible says. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is, what's the next word? Okay, everybody look at me. Maybe holy is different than you think it is. Because growing up as a kid, I'm like, holy means you just don't have any fun. Like if you're miserable, you holy. Right? But look at this. But look at this. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't be miserable. Do not mourn or weep. Go your way. Here's holiness. You ready? Eat the fat. Can I get an amen? God is into the keto diet, right? This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Go your way. Look at this. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine. And send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. Look at this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Picture the word holiday in your mind. Do you see it? The word holiday comes from these two words, holy day. You mean you can eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and still be holy? What do you think heaven's going to be like? Let me help you. Fat and wine. Really good cheese, right? Holiness, come on, when we partake of it, holiness is about partaking of the joy of the Lord. Holiness is about basking and resting and soaking and marinating in the joy of the Lord. The rest that he brings, the restoration he offers, the redemption that he's provided. He restores my soul. Little children, get this. I love to hear my children laugh. I love to experience joy with them as they're in my presence. Let me show you holiness. Look at this picture of Jackson. Check this out. That's Jackson. I told you, red hair, freckles, all right, he favors my wife. Jackson is eating the fat. Can you see that there? Okay, listen, everybody, I'm going to talk to all the dudes here for a second. Men, lead your family in the realm of fun. It is godly. It is godly to lead your family in the realm of fun. Be the ambassador of fun this week for your family. And then like make it a habit as you move on. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. To experience holiness is to partake of his joy. We've got to learn repentance. We've got to see things differently. Number two, learn to rejoice. Lessons from Jesus. Learn to rejoice. It is a good thing every day to encourage people and celebrate life with them. Don't be a Debbie Downer, right? Learn to rejoice. Think about the word rejoice here for a second. To rejoice is to rejoy. It means to return to things of joy. How do you do that? Gratitude. Gratitude. The more thankful you are, the more content, satisfied, and at peace you will be. My friend bought me this shirt. It's a Life is Good shirt. You know the company Life is Good? I'll probably wear it this week. It says Grateful Dude on it. Everywhere I go, when I wear that shirt, it says Grateful Dude, like really big, right? People smile at me. We're in San Clemente. Mike mentioned that. We're on the walk path, my wife and I, and every time I wear that shirt, people like laugh, wave, you know, Grateful Dude. That's because gratitude is at the heart of joy. Gratitude is the first step to experiencing the presence of God. I will enter his gates with, I will enter his courts with. To be grateful is to rejoice. So when people in the Old Testament would experience the presence of God, they would go through this ceremony, right? They would enter his gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise. They would confess and sacrifice there at the laver, and then the priest would go in the holy place, and then once a year, the Holy of Holies, presence of God, all of that. But it all begins with entering his gates with thanksgiving, gratitude. It's to rejoice. See, Jesus changes everything. Jesus reveals to us who God really is. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. Jesus is God with a bod. All right? The seminary way to say it, God incarnate. It means God with a bod. God in the flesh. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Think about this for a second. Jesus' first miracle, I mentioned it earlier, he turned H2O into wine is a symbol of joy. Think about this. In the Old Testament, it was water to blood, curse. In the New Testament, it's water to wine, blessing and joy. See the difference? See the difference? Jesus has brought the kingdom of heaven to you and said, here, you want some of this? It's not working your way to God. It's believing and receiving in the person of Jesus. A little bit of heaven in the real world. Learn to rejoice. Make gratitude a habit in your life. Here's what I'm learning to do. And I am definitely a work in progress. But every day, I just start with gratitude. And I'll just tell you, when I get up and I look in the mirror and I got bedhead, I'm not grateful, right? But as I kind of get the wheels rolling, I'm always grateful for coffee. God bless coffee. Drink the sweet coffee, right? And then I eat the fat. That's called bacon. But as the day starts kind of rolling, just take a little moment in gratitude. How many of you, you'll confess, like with me, when I try to pray, my mind wanders. Does anybody else do that? Okay, what I've learned to do is I just write down my prayer. It helps me focus. Because I've got a little bit of ADD. Oh, look, a bird. Right? I'm kind of like that, okay? But I start off with gratitude. Make that a practice. To rejoice is to rejoice. Okay? Again, just thinking about things differently. Little children, rest. How does Jesus see it? Jesus is God. What does he want me to see here? How does he want me to view this? I'm gonna think about things differently, all right? So I'm going to repent. I'm going to learn to rejoice. Last one, number three, learn to receive. Learn to receive. Okay. This is a different thought for a lot of us, but we need to grab a hold of it. The Christian life is primarily about receiving. I thought it was about giving. You cannot give what you do not have. The Christian life is primarily about receiving. Religion is, this is what you have to do to work your way to God. Christianity is, this is what God has done to work his way to you and through the person of Jesus. Religion is, work harder, do better, be your own savior. Christianity is good news of great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. Religion is about achieving. Biblical Christianity is about believing and receiving. Watch me. A lot of hand motions this week. You excited? All right. Wax on, wax off. Okay, here we go. This is the Christian life. Watch me, functionally speaking. It's learning to receive the love, the mercy, the grace, and the truth of God, and then giving it away. God works it in soul satisfaction. He restores my soul. God works it in, come on, and we work it out. God works it in, we work it out. Do you know why when you go to church and there's miserable Christians, right, and the frozen chosen and all of that? Because they're trying to give on empty. It's big, they're trying to give on empty. And it just makes you miserable because you got nothing. Learning to receive the love, the mercy, the grace, the truth of God, and then giving it away. God works it in, we work it out. Our problem is not that we don't love God enough. Our problem is that we do not realize how much he loves us. Rest is a command. It's not an option. It's a commandment. And it's also a promise. Here's what we're going to do in the mornings all week. We're just going to keep unpacking this. And I'll make you this pastor promise, okay? Definitely tomorrow and over the next few times. Very practical. I'm going to give you like, do this, okay? God, in my own life, past 7 years, I've been learning this. And he wants you to be at rest in your soul. So let's learn together, all right? Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Let's have a moment here. How many of you, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and kind of remain quiet. How many of you say, hey, Chad, my soul's not at rest. This is an issue for me. Can you just lift your hand? Yep, me too. All over. Thank you. Let me take a moment and pray for us. Father, give us wisdom of these things and help us to see what you see. Father, may we this week, as we start maybe to practice some of this for the first time, maybe we be like little children. Help us just to chill out. Which doesn't sound spiritual, but it's all through your word. Help us just to chill out and receive the fact that you are God, you are great, you are good. We can trust you. And if there's any place we can be to just chill, I mean, everybody else is cooking the dinners and taking care of our kids and all that. Help us just to chill out this week and have some fun. And in that, open ourselves up to receiving truth from you, seeing things in a different light. And Father, in that, represent your kingdom well. Teach us to receive. Help us to know your love for us so that we might trust you. Give us wisdom of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.